Hello, everyone. It's time for Vanishakaland Stories, the podcast. I'm your host, Pete Costanis. This is episode 143, season 6. And today's date is June 25th, 2022. And thank you for joining me today. We have an interesting show coming up. I will discuss the 35th anniversary of the closing of Webolt's department store in Chicago. It's an interesting topic. Also, I will talk about cigarette vending machines and my memories of that. Also, last but not least, I will discuss the Apple iPod, and it went bye-bye about a month ago. So I'll talk about that and my memories of owning an Apple iPod. But first, we have a commercial break. This program is brought to you by Pringles Country Style Potato Chips. And here's a commercial from 1978 featuring singer Roy Clark. And here we go.
Mr. Roy Clark, can I have your autograph?
Sure, have some new Country Style Pringles.
A can of blue can. Good.
Good? Why, that's a whole peck of hearty flavor.
This old country's wearing denim, Pringles Country Style is too. No preservatives in Pringles, just a natural taste that's new. Starts with whole and peeled potatoes, fried and fried up with a smile. There's a peck of a party flavor in new Pringles Country Style. That's it.
Okay, everyone, I am back. I hope you enjoyed the commercial for Pringles Country Style Potato Chips. And that type of potato chip, they don't make them anymore. Pringles is still around. They have other flavors, like, for example, sour cream and onion, cheddar cheese, salt and vinegar. I don't know what else. Maybe taco flavor. There's so many, because when I was growing up, that was just a regular, you know, the red can. The potato chips were introduced in 1968, and I think it was created in Ohio, I guess. And then when I was about grade school, about maybe seventh or eighth grade, I saw them in the stores all the time. My mother bought those, and she bought the regular ones, but she did buy the country style. What's different with the difference is it's I heard they're more they had a little more salt and they had more flavor, you know, it had more body, but they were good. They're really good. And the can came in like denim blue, like blue jeans, like that. And I think they were around about a few years, maybe till the early 80s, not very long. I don't know what happened. As for the person speaking in the commercial, it's Roy Clark. He's a famous country singer. He was famous for co-hosting Hee Haw. That show is still funny. I mean, it's corny, but I love it. And that show ran forever. You know, it really did. You know, it was on CBS. I think it premiered on 1969. Right, it was like a country version of Roland and Martin's Laughing, my second favorite show. And it was on CBS for 2 years, and then it went to syndication. But, you know, in the beginning, it wasn't that popular, but when it went into syndication, boom, it did. And it continued to, like, 93, a long time. And, you know, they brought, they only told corny jokes, but they brought singers in. Laughing didn't do that. Not real. In the beginning, they did, but not that. But it was all jokes and some classic characters. It's a fun show. Okay. At the beginning of the program, I said I will talk about the 35th anniversary of the closing of Webolt's store. Also, vintage cigarette vending machines. And the Apple iPod, which is met its demise. I think exactly like May 10th of this year. So it's a shame. First off, I'm going to talk about Webolt's. I've discussed Webolt's in a previous episode. long, long time ago. Probably, I'm not exactly sure what episode, but you have to search it on your, if you go on your app, you know, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or Amazon Music, Stitcher, Breaker, whatever, or you will find that. Also, the podcast is available on YouTube under the name Vanishing Colorado Stories. You can find that. And please subscribe. Please do. Anyway, so we both have started its history, like I did that in a previous episode. It was founded by 1883, by storekeeper William A. Weeble. And the first store opened was at, I don't know the exact address, but it was on Milwaukee Avenue in Paulina, a couple blocks west of Ashland. And that wasn't, it did not open downtown, not yet. And so it sold, you know, basic goods, you know, at first. And then William Weebold expanded. And the next store he opened at Lincoln Avenue in Belmont in 1912. Okay, and believe it or not, that building's still there. I think the one in Milwaukee and Paulina is still there, I think. I'm not sure. Also, the third one opened in Midtown. It was about Ogden and Adams, West Adams Street and Ashland. That's like the medical area. Excuse me. It's been built up ever since. You know, it's amazing what it looks like now. And then the first store to open on the south side was in the Englewood neighborhood at 63rd and Green Street. That's one west of Halsted. My mother went to that when she came to America in 1962 and had me when she got married. She got married first, then she had me. She went to that store about a few times. She liked it. She said it was beautiful. It was big, you know. She also went to the one downtown. I'll get to that in a second. And let's see. The first suburban store that opened was in Oak Park. It's on Lake Street and Harlem Avenue and River Forest. You know, borders Oak Park, but it's really River Forest. That's a nice store. It's very nice. It's right near the L station. Like that is kind of cool. And the... well, actually, it was not the first store in the suburbs. Forgive me. It was Evanston in 1929, and then they remodeled it in 1959. So really, it's Evanston that was the first one. And then in 1957, it opened at Harlem Irving Plaza. They had a big... it opened to great fanfare around there. It really did. It was big, and it was beautiful. Next up, it opened in Carpentersville in 1959 in the Meadowdale Shopping Center. Then in Lincoln Village, that's like Milwaukee, and it's in Lincolnwood. I think it's like Devon or something like that. I'm not sure. It's in Lincoln Village in 1960. Then it opened at Randhurst in 1962 in Mount Prospect. There's a few photos out there. If you go online and do a search, you will find it. Then... it opened again in the city in August 1965 at Fort City Mall. And that's the one I frequently went the most. That was a great store. I loved it. People in the neighborhood, they were crazy about it. And I've said this before, I applied at that store about maybe two or three times and I never got hired. And the reason was there were a lot of kids in my class that worked there. And, you know, one of them suggested go apply. I did. Nothing happened. But I remember there was the Terrace Snack Bar. They had a restaurant there. And I remember the records, the record albums section. Remember that? And they had beautiful clothes. Oh. My mom shopped there all the time. That was one of her favorites. She really loved it. And she has a few items still in the house. And next up, it opened in Yorktown in Lombard, Illinois, August 1968. Also at Lakehurst Mall in Waukegan, August 1971. Then it opened in another August date, 1973 in Lincoln Mall in Madison. And the last one opened was in August 1974. Also, it opened in Orland Park, too. Yeah, it did. I don't know when it opened in Orland Park at the Orland Square Mall. I think, no, it wasn't at the Orland Square Mall. I think it was at another mall. It was Orland Place. I forgot because I don't think I went to that one. I knew it was there, so... Yeah, forgive me, you can correct me and you can make a comment and do that. Okay. So the one downtown that opened at 1 North State Street in 1960, and it the department store that was there before was Mandel Brothers, and that was there till I think like the late 19th century. That was there forever. And then Weebles, I don't know if acquired the building or the company. Maybe it did. I'm not sure. And I remember going downtown when I was little, and my mother took me there. What I remember was the toy department, and I think it was, what was it called? Toyland or something? I forgot. Toypedia? I forgot the name. And it was beautiful. And believe it or not, right after I got laid off from American Express Travel, 2007, I found a temporary job at that building around 2012, and it was a 1 North State Street, and it was the Weebles building, and I worked on the third floor, and it was eerie walking in, and it was like, this was Weebles, it was funny. I didn't like working there. That job was terrible. I don't want to go into details. I'm glad they didn't call me back. You know, everyone had a bad job. Everyone's had one. So that's okay. And unfortunately, the company filed for bankruptcy in the mid 80s, probably early 80s, I imagine. And then it closed in 1987, and it's 35 years ago this month. They had all, going out of business sales. And when people found out, that when the company announced that it was closing, they were devastated. I was too. It was awful, And then the one in Fort City closed. And then Carson's, Peary Scott, took over for many years. So that's good. But it's a shame because... they were one of the three favorite stores in Chicago that people loved to shop. Also, it was Marshall Field's, Carson Peary Scott, and Weebles. Marshall Field's was more pricier, but beautiful. They had all of them had beautiful items. But Carson's and Weebles, they were a little discounted, a little bit, slightly. But they had everything. Anything you wanted, it was there. Help yourself like that. It's the same thing when I lived in Roseland neighborhood on South Side in the 70s. They had Gately's People Store. That was similar to that. And they had everything. Everything. It was like a mall in a building. And so that's a sad anniversary. And hopefully, I don't think I'll come back. No way. That's a shame. Also, there was a book out in called Lost Chicago Department Stores, authored by Leslie Goddard. I'm featured in that book, and I talked about a couple of memories. One of them was Fort City in Weebles. I talked about that. The other one was Gately's People Store. So if you do a search and find the book, it's a fascinating read. It really is. It talks about department stores of Chicago, but not just Weebles, Marshall Field's, Carson's, Sears, that's gone too. It's a wonderful book. I loved it. Okay. Next up, I will talk about, vintage cigarette machines. They were invented a long time ago. And I will talk about my memories of that. When I was growing up, I used to see cigarette vending machines mostly at restaurants, bars, I don't know where else. Maybe sometimes a department store. No, not department stores. Maybe. Yeah, but I remember seeing them at grocery stores. I mean, I know grocery stores sell them. They sell cigarettes by the carton or the pack, but they had vending machines there. And then you walk out and there, boom, there it was. And you know what was fascinating when I was a little girl? They had pretty colors because all cigarette brands have that, like red, green, blue, green. I said green already. I'm sorry. And, you know, so I don't know how much they cost back then. I'm trying to remember, like in the 70s, maybe it's like, I forgot, 35 cents, 40 cents, and it's gone up dramatically with taxes and all that. And I witnessed people who bought them, they put in quarters. They used dollar bills. Later on, they added that, but they usually use coins. And then they would see a brand, which they smoke, usually lights, ultralights, or regular, or filtered, unfiltered. They call it plain end like that. And it's fine. Another, you know, famous brands that were over there most of the time was Winston, Salem, Cool, Newport, Camel, all the most popular brands ever. Benson Hedges, you know that. And the last time I saw a vending machine, you know, cigarette vending machine was at a restaurant. It was called Nickabee's. It was at, located at 103rd Street and Harlem Avenue. And I think it's Bridgeview, I think, or Chicago Ridge. I think it's Bridgeview. The owner of the restaurant was he was a friend of my father's. They worked together at the Conrad Hilton downtown. And when he left that job and he opened that restaurant, we went there a few times. It was a good place. And there's, you know, what the funny thing is, the vending machine was located downstairs where you go to the restrooms. So you go downstairs and there it was right in a corner, right there. It looked like it was from the 80s. It was amazing. And that back then, it cost a lot of money. So that was the last time I saw one. Then the restaurant was torn down. I think he passed away not too long ago. That's the owner who worked with my father. And now it's a Starbucks. Okay. All right. So that was that. And you don't see them around. I don't know if they're still legal. I don't know. Maybe they pass an ordinance in Illinois or Chicago that they got rid of them. Because right now there's stricter laws for tobacco use, you know, and it's, you know, kids, you know, you have to be a certain age or show an ID to purchase. I think it's 21, I think, or 18, but I think it's 21. So it was 18 when I was younger. But, you know, when I was in high school, kids got cigarettes very easily. Okay. So, that's a, you know, so the vending machine, you don't see them around. It's like the payphones. And then those gone, you know, I'll talk about payphones, you know, telephone payphone, telephone, you know, pay telephones. I'm sorry. on another episode. That's an interesting thought. Okay. Next up, I will talk about the Apple iPod. We'll talk about that. And when the news broke out that they're discontinuing the Apple iPod, that was in May 10th, a lot of people were disappointed, but not surprised because it was a very hot item in the 2000s and 2010s. But then the iPhone came in 2007. So it was like an iPhone without the phone, basically. And so the iPod was introduced in 2001. I think I have the exact date, and the exact date was October 23rd. So that's when it was released, which is like that. So right now I'm going to play the commercial, the first commercial for Apple iPod. It's from 2001. There's not much dialogue, only at the the guy at the end, he'll tell you that. And so luckily I found it on YouTube, so that's great. So here is the very first iPod, Apple iPod commercial from 2001. Here we go.
iPod, 1,000 songs in your pocket.
Okay, everyone, I'm back. I hope you enjoyed the commercial for Apple iPod. There were other commercials following that. I remember, I think a lot of people remember this. There were like people dancing silhouettes, and they danced to certain music. So that was, that took off as well. So I'll give you a little history of the iPod. But first, I'm going to tell you my memory of buying my first iPod. Okay, that happened in 2000, I think about 2004, 2005, something like that. A friend of mine called me for lunch. We used to work together downtown. He lived in Lombard. And we went, I don't remember where we went for lunch, somewhere around there. And so I figured, you know, I was driving around, and then I entered in Downers Grove, that's in the border of Lombard, and I went to Best Buy, and I was just looking for DVDs to buy, and, you know, they had the iPods for sale, and I figured, oh, why don't I buy one? Why don't I just buy one? And so I chose the first one was not like the clickety wheel, it was like the smooth one. I'll get to that in a moment. Of the different models and generations. So I purchased one, and I don't remember how much I bought. I don't really remember, but it was white, and I was very excited. I was so excited, you know, I drove home. I can't wait to use it when I get home. But the thing is, I was speeding a little bit in Oak Brook, and I got pulled over by a cop. And the policeman, he would look like he was 18 years old. He was very, you know, he had a baby face. And I said, officer, and I told, I'm sorry, officer, I was speeding, you know. And he wrote a ticket. But the funny thing is, he asked me, why were you speeding? And I said, I got distracted by a new iPod. And he was laughing at me. But you know what he did? He gave me the ticket, but he wouldn't report it. He says, that's just a reminder, you know, to be careful next time. And I said, wow, that's great. Thank you. You know, but I feel guilty about that. So I did go home and I got started. I didn't have an iMac computer at the time. I had a PC. I forgot which one, HP, I believe. And so I waited. So I then when you start connecting it, you had to sign in, get the software going. You know, it took a little time for that. And then all of a sudden on your computer, on your monitor, boom, iTunes Store. And so that was pretty cool. Now, the funny thing is the iTunes Store didn't premiere in 2001. That came later. That it came in, the date was April 29th, 2003. So it was two years later. And then videos were sold there on April 12th, 2005. And then they had movies a year later in 2006. Interesting, you know. So I had a huge CD collection. I still do. And I started burning. That's what it's called. You put in a disk, you put it in a drive. I'm trying to remember because, the drive was like up front, you know, and then I remember when I bought an iMac, that was on the side of that. And then I bought two iMacs so far, but, then the iMac model now doesn't come with that. You have to buy a separate, disc DVD player, like a disc drive. And I have that. So that, thank goodness. And, so it was like Napster. Remember that? I should talk about that. That's interesting. And also, remember eMusic? I remember that. That's interesting. And MSN Music. Yeah, there were other stores like that, you know, that you could purchase songs online or burn them, you know, from your CDs. And I started... Then I started burning the songs from CD. Not all of them, but my favorites, you know. Like my first, my favorite album of all time when I bought it in high school was The Cars, self-titled album. Also their second one, Candio. I used to listen to it all the time in high school when The Loop, WLUP, played them all the time. And that was the first CDs. And then I bought a few songs on the iTunes store. I really did, because some are not available. So I did that. And you paid 99 cents. And the price went up to $1.29, I think, right now. So it was 99 cents. So it's like a buck. And then it grew in popularity, the iPods and all that. And then others introduced. First generations, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth. The last one was seven. Okay. The first one held 1,000 songs. It really did, you know, and then the memories of those, you know, the storage increased over time. And then, so the other models of iPods was the iPod Mini, iPod Nano, and iPod Shuffle. I never bought those. I just bought the regular iPod. I have two. And the first one doesn't really work. You know, I still have it. The second one was the black, when they came in black. I don't know which generation it was. I think maybe third or fourth. Yeah, I think third or fourth. And then I remember the commercial that U2, you know, the band that with Bono, and he sang the commercials of that. And the black one works. That one works. I tried it out, and I didn't connect it in the computer yet. Maybe I should, but it was kind of cool. But I don't know if it's compatible with today. This is 2022. I don't think so. And so I took a photo of myself with the earbuds and the black iPod, and I showed it to people, and they were fascinated. And it goes, it still works, but there are a lot of people have commented they still have their music players. They still have, and they work. And that's cool. And they do. And then so last month they announced they discontinuing. I don't know if people rush to the stores or order online to get the last one. I don't think they sell them anymore. So if you're lucky, you can find them on eBay and try to find one. You know, that's a shame. Maybe I wanted it. But now you have your iPhone, so you can transfer it on your iPhone. I have a few songs on my iPhone, but I don't know if I want... You see, I have 14,000 songs, I think, last I looked. And let's see how many songs I got. Yeah, 14,900, almost 950. That's a lot. That is quite a lot. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if my iPhone can hold all that, so I got to get rid of it. And so that's a shame. You know, it was very innovative, very popular, you know. I remember there was another music player called Zune. I think Microsoft created that. I doubt they make it anymore. But I read somewhere that, what was it, Samsung? or a company that has still has music players, if you want to buy one, go ahead. And so that was a big deal when it was announced. It really was. And the audio at first wasn't sound not great, so they adjusted that as time went on. So whenever you have your iPod, you take your USB and your charger, and you can charge it, and then also charge it with your computer in the back, like I do. And, the dock connector. So it's fun. And so that's a shame. Who knows? They might bring it back. I doubt it, but I hope so. So Apple sold about 450 million iPod products as of this year, which is pretty good, you know. So, let's see. Also, iTunes Store went away. It was renamed Apple Music. So, that's a shame, too. I like iTunes. I like that name, you know, like that. So that opened in, it opened on April 28, 2003. And then it changed to Apple Music. You can still buy songs for $1.29 or movies if you like. I never bought a movie there. Never did. Just music. That's fine. Okay. All right, so that'll be all for today. I hope you enjoyed the show. I talked about the 35th anniversary of the closing of Webull's department store. My memories of vintage cigarette vending machines, and also the Apple iPod. Oh, that was fun. I really did. I will do another podcast episode next week, sometime next week. Also, I will do my other podcast, which is TV Oblivion. I will do an episode tomorrow. I think that's episode 7, I think. I forgot. I haven't done one in a while, so that should be interesting. And please subscribe to my podcast, Bashy Gongland Stories. I am on wherever podcasts are available. Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, Stitcher, Breaker, anywhere like that. And also on my YouTube channel, Bashy Gongland Stories. I will post this on my social media accounts, Facebook and Twitter. You can listen as well. If you have any questions on how to access it, please do. I will do my best. Okay, so this is your host, Pete Castanis, with episode 143. Of Van Chicagoland Stories. Everyone have a great day. And one last thing. Health-wise, I'm doing fine. I've been resuming walking for the past 2 or 3 weeks and have increased, you know, so it's going very well. You know, I enjoy it. I won't do it today because it's raining. Maybe tonight. I don't know. We'll see. I'll check the weather. Check on my weather app. Okay. So thank you again for joining me, and bye-bye for now for me. And here's Ray Rayner saying bye-bye for now with a little traveling music. Take care, everybody. So long.
We have to go. Bye-bye-bye.